Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 32. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the net for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them." Yet the news spread about him all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is the word of God.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you that you are a speaking God. Help us to listen to your voice. With all the distractions or whatever is going on in our lives at this time, Father, please be with us and speak to us now. In Jesus' name, Amen. Do you ever feel needy? Maybe we might try to avoid such a feeling. It's just too crushing to consider. But with all that's going on around us at this time, with the pandemic of COVID-19, I'm sure we're very much aware of our fragility. Well, it could be the fact that, you know, our finances don't stretch. Maybe that illness that won't go away. Maybe we feel needy because it brings us low. The anxiety that we have at this time. Well, maybe it's not those things. Well, I have to say, we feel needy, and we experience it on a daily level. That could be our rumbling stomachs. It could be when our highs are heavy with tiredness. Maybe we need that medication daily. Or without that person, we wouldn't know how to face the next day. We might strive for independence, but in actual fact, all of us are needy people. For those of us who know our neediness, there is good news. In this chapter, Jesus reaches out to all sorts of people who are needy. And Luke builds up a picture of those who are in the kingdom of God. See what Jesus has come for. Who is his mission for? What we saw last week in chapter 4, verse 18. Well, it says this. To proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. See, Jesus, his mission is of salvation. That is to bring the offer of forgiveness to needy people like you and me. That is for our sin. And we are to accept this offer of forgiveness. And in our passage this afternoon, we've got four events of how we go about doing that. First of all, they encounter Jesus, and they're very much aware of their sin or their neediness. But surprisingly, Jesus, well, he doesn't reject them and say, oh, no, I don't want to get near you. No, he accepts them as friends. Then Jesus doesn't leave them in their sin, but he brings about a new order of life. This is true then, as it is for each one of us today. So as we go through each of these events in our passage, see if you can spot those of Jesus, as people see their sin, Jesus accepting them as a friend, and then giving them new life. So this mission, as I said, is true as it is then, as it is today. If you don't know of it, if you haven't joined it, well, please come and join it, and we'll see now. The first thing I want us to see is that Jesus calls needy sinners. Verses 1 to 11. Jesus calls needy sinners. In these verses, we meet Simon, better known as the disciple Peter. He's an expert fisherman and he respects Jesus as a teacher. But, you know, Simon thinks he knows best. But let's see if this is true. Well, in verse 1, we meet Jesus and he is swamped by people as he teaches. And Jesus uses Simon's fishing boat to preach from. Now, Jesus is doing a great job, but what he says next goes beyond his job description as a good teacher. Verse 4, it says this, When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. There is Jesus, this handyman come preacher, telling Simon what to do as he sits in his boat. It's like Ray, our minister, turning up at Ravi's law firm. Now, Ravi, he's a patent lawyer. Imagine that, Ray turning up and telling him how to do his job. I mean, Ravi, how would you respond to that? Well, I'll let you decide. So even though it goes against Simon's professional judgment, in verse 5 we see that he obeys and he lets down the nets. Well, Simon is in for a shock in verse 6. When he had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And see how extreme the situation is in verse 7. It filled both boats so full that they began to sink. The greatest moment in Simon's career actually leaves him scared to death. Look in verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Surprisingly, Simon didn't accept or he didn't welcome the greatest catch of a lifetime. Instead, he saw it as a disaster. He says, "Go away." Well, why? Well, Simon sees Jesus' supreme power, but he also sees his sin. He says, "I'm a sinful man." It wasn't that Simon was a particularly evil person, but he knew that in the presence of Jesus, he's a sinner deserving of God's judgment. Now, Jesus' response wasn't to dismiss and say, "Oh, Peter, look, you're not that bad. You just need to believe in yourself. Come on, have more confidence." No, Jesus didn't say that. Neither did he say, "Oh, you are a disgusting sinner. Get away from me." No. You see, Simon's response is right. He stands before the Lord, that is Jesus, and he should be fearful because of being condemned as a sinner. But Jesus accepts sinful Simon as he is, saying in verse 10, "Don't be afraid." Jesus accepts sinful people like you and me. And that's because of his love for you and me. And he doesn't then leave us the way we are in our sin. Rather than Simon asking Jesus to join his business to get more fish, Jesus actually asks Simon to join him in his work of setting the oppressed free. And in verse 10 we see that. "From now on you will fish for people." As a fisher of people, Simon is now to rescue people, setting them free from spiritual danger by proclaiming the good news of Jesus. This brings about a new order of life for Simon and all the others there with him that day. See what they immediately do in verse 11. "So they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything and followed him." Simon has just caught the greatest catch that anyone had ever seen in their lifetime. He leaves it behind. It's not as important as Jesus. Simon the sinner is transformed into Simon the servant. No longer catching fish, but people for the kingdom of God. So as you hear more about Jesus, do you see yourself as Simon did, a needy sinner? If so, Jesus calls you. He calls you. And we're going to see what next. We are needy sinners. Now, what I'd like us to see from today's passage is that Jesus restores needy sinners. Verses 12 to 16. Jesus restores needy sinners. Now, Simon tells Jesus to go away. Now, in the next event, we see someone doing the opposite. In verse 12, we meet a man covered in leprosy, a disease that, well, is terrible, but he comes to Jesus desperate to meet him. Yeah, it's because this disease, as I say, it's horrendous. It gradually spreads throughout this man's body, and all the skin would have become scaly white. He wouldn't have been able to feel anything in his body, as parts of it would fall off and be disfigured. Not only was it physically unsightly, but it caused a serious health hazard as it is contagious, sending him into quarantine for the rest of his life. And what made this disease kind of unique with all the others is that it spiritually defiled you and anyone else who came into contact with you, known as unclean. I mean, did you see what the leper asked for in verse 13? "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Not, "Can you heal me or take this disease away?" Now understand, he's not asking to be washed down by Jesus. But from the Old Testament law, leprosy is a vivid picture of sin. And sin makes it impossible for us to come to God and enter his eternal kingdom. And there's this man. He's very aware of his sin. The symbolic nature of it is on show for everyone to see. But how about you? Do you see that you are seriously sick with sin? Many of us might think, "Oh, actually, I'm a good person. I look fine, I do good things." But actually, we are infected horribly with this disease of sin, if it's on show or not. I mean, think about the times that you've been cruel. I mean, even cruel to those that you love. How you've cherished resentment towards others. How you put people in their place so that you look good. Is that not you? Because it certainly is me. Well, what can be done about it? Well, for this leper, he's incapable of doing anything about it. Here is a guy who totally is in need, but now he sees someone who's capable of changing his life, and that is Jesus. So with great courage and desperation, he falls at Jesus' feet, and he says in verse 12, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He knew that Jesus could heal him, but would Jesus want to heal him? I mean, think about the risk of contamination. Jesus, the Son of God, becoming unclean. As the leper approaches, see what Jesus does in verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Jesus doesn't recoil in disgust, but he takes hold of him, accepting him in all his defilement. And look what happens in verse 13. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. You see, Jesus doesn't get contaminated by uncleanliness. In fact, the opposite happens. Instead, the leper catches cleanliness. He knows he's spiritually clean because the unclean leprosy, well, it's gone. He's been healed of it. Now, we see that Jesus didn't practice social distancing here. He became close to us and took on this disease of sin and became contagious, even though he's the pure Son of God. This leper knows his sin, is accepted by Jesus, and brought to new life. This perfect picture, I think, demonstrates and shows that Jesus restores those who are helplessly in need, like this leper. And this fulfills Jesus' mission in chapter 4, verse 18, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. So those of us who are aware of our sin, know that Jesus accepts you. Actually, more than that, he embraces you. And we'll see why and how he does this in the next encounter. Because, so the third thing I want us to see is that Jesus forgives needy sinners. 17 to 26, verses 17 to 26. Jesus forgives needy sinners. Hopefully we've seen that each of us are needy people. But what is it that put you in that position? Maybe we could say our health. Or it could be that there was an event in childhood, a missed opportunity. Or maybe a lot of blame could be placed on one particular person. Well, let's see what Jesus says is the reason for our neediness. Well, we meet someone now in total need. Verse 18 says this, "As some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus." Imagine what it would have been like to be paralyzed back then. You can't feed yourself, you can't clean yourself. You would see your body deteriorating as it becomes thinner and thinner. And everything would have had to be done for you. I would say it would have been, well, quite a humiliating and frustrating life. But suddenly there's hope for this man. His friends have heard about Jesus and the amazing things he can do, that he can heal. And so they set off with their paralyzed friend on a mat to see Jesus. But they get to the house and it's packed out. But this doesn't stop them. We see in verse 19 that they smash up the roof and they lower the man down on ropes right in front where this man needs to be, in front of Jesus. There's great hope and expectation. What would Jesus do? Well, verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." It's great hope that Jesus would heal. But what was he doing talking about sin? Isn't it obvious what this man needs? Well, Jesus' mission isn't about healing the sick. It's actually a healing we all need, and that is of our own sin. Again, we see that Jesus accepts this paralyzed man. In verse 20, he calls him friend. Now, for the first time in Luke's Gospel, we meet the Pharisees. They're the religious experts of the day, and they've come all the way up from Jerusalem to see what the fuss is all about. But what they've just heard Jesus said, it shocks them. Jesus' mission, they accuse him of blasphemy. That is to misrepresent God or to say that you're taking the place of God. But Jesus, yes, he is claiming to take the place of God by only doing what God can do, which is to forgive sin. And that's because sin is against God. So if I insult you, I damage the relationship. You know, if I, boom, punch you, then I'd say, "Oh, I don't know what came over me. I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me?" And then when you do, well, that broken relationship can be mended. No one else can do that. Only you can forgive me. Well, that's the same with God. Only sin, well, that is against God. And only God can then forgive that broken friendship or relationship. No one else can. Sin is only against God. But here we have Jesus standing in the place of God, so that he can forgive the insult against him, against God. So the Pharisees are correct. Who can forgive sin but God alone? Jesus backs up his claim with a challenge. Verse 23. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. See, if Jesus is claiming to be God to forgive sins, well, then he should be able to have God-like powers to, like, make this man walk. But Jesus can back up his word with action. And he tells the man to walk. See what happens in verse 25. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. There were no crutches required or physio to warm him up. No, he immediately stood up straight away. This man who had been wasting away for years living this tragic existence, well, he suddenly received this new life. The man walks, meaning that God has talked. Jesus' act of healing reveals that he does indeed have authority to forgive sins. Now, we see that Jesus takes the place of God, but he also takes another place, making it possible for us to be forgiven. And that is our place. See, at the cross, Jesus took on our sin, which, where God poured out his anger upon Jesus instead of us. So now, like that paralytic, Jesus is able to offer him forgiveness and new life. By now, we should see ourselves as needy people because of our sin. And only Jesus can offer forgiveness and to restore us because of his death on the cross. So how can we receive this forgiveness? So we've seen the call to sinners. We've seen the restoration, and that's only because of forgiveness. And now finally, Jesus calls needy sinners to repent. Verses 27 to 32. Jesus calls needy sinners to repent. Now I want you to imagine that you're back in Crofton Park Baptist Church. Who would you love to see walk into church? I bet you think, yes, that's the type of person that we need here. Who would that be for you? Well, whoever jumps into your mind, I think we'd be surprised about who Jesus wants. Verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. Well, we've just seen Jesus offer forgiveness of sins, having that authority. And now we see the best example of it here. Jesus calls a tax collector. Now, this isn't the kind of respectful, honest, suit-wearing men and women sitting in an office. No, instead, think of a debt collector working for a loan shark. Well, this is the type of person Jesus welcomes, who he wants in his church. And after that, we see Levi. He celebrates. He leaves his former life behind. And in verse 29, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Now, Jesus hasn't called Levi and his questionable associates to have a go at them because of their sin. No, he welcomes them as friends. Well, this celebration is a contrast, though, in verse 30. Look with me. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? For the religious elite, this is unthinkable. Eating with such people, it makes no sense. Why would Jesus hang out with sinners and not those who, well, seem to be on God's side? It's like Jesus criticising those who go to church and instead hang out with the drug dealer, the sex pest, and those with terrorist sympathies. Jesus explains his actions in verse 31. Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. You see, you only go to the doctor when you're ill, don't you? When you're sick and need help. Well, I want to encourage you. Come to Dr. Jesus. Come to Dr. Jesus because you need him. Because of your sin. Now, understand, this isn't to condemn you. And that's because of what Jesus says next in verse 32. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, the treatment of Dr. Jesus isn't to quarantine you and say, you sinners, stay over there. But it's the message of repentance. Well, how do we do that? Well, we've seen that throughout in our passage. Peter, the fisherman, the leper, the paralysed man, and Levi, the tax collector. You see, each of them knew that they were sick with sin, and that they came to Dr. Jesus for a cure, and that Jesus accepted them as friend, each one of them. And then he gave the much-needed medicine of forgiveness. And then he restored them. And ultimately, that is the relationship with God. So, if you're not a Christian here, please, please listen to the call of Jesus. He calls you to come to him and befriend him, as he is the friend of sinners like you and me. Now, those of us who are Christian, well, we'll become more aware of our sinfulness as we come to know the holy character of God. So repentance is actually a lifelong daily experience. But as we look at Levi, well, he throws a party. Now, of course, we are to be sorrowful for our sin, but we should be delighting in leaving our sin behind. So please, don't look back on your past life when you weren't a Christian and say, there were the days. No, because we've found something or someone much better. You see, we've experienced Jesus' healing power of forgiveness. And we should be amazed at Jesus' call. That is, calling you and me, who are sick with sin, friend. The moment we are friends with him, he brings us new life. Able to follow him, love him, what we were unable to do, completely incapable of doing before. I'm so glad that I've had a chance to study this story again, because it's helped me to see what my response should be after repentance. It shouldn't be, oh, woe is me, but actually celebrate with me. Like Levi, he wanted to share in his delight, as he knows what he deserved as a sinner, but instead, he found a friend in Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these amazing events, each one of them, that we see that Jesus has come to call us to himself, to restore us, to give us the much needed medicine of forgiveness. And now he wants us to repent, to turn from our old life and turn to him, to change our mind about who Jesus is, to love him. Father, help us to do that. Lord, if this is for the first time, open our hearts that we may follow you, Jesus. So, Father, thank you that for the gift of repentance, that we can come to you, that we can come to you, our God. In his name we pray. Amen.